You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains, we gon' walk it out and move.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio, featuring Team Radio Baltimore. This is Carol Mulletta, your host of Parenting 411, where we share information parents need from sources they can trust. We've got a fun episode in store for you today, everybody. Let me tell you, across the Parenting 411 platform, including social media, newsletters, live streams, May is the month of mom, and today it's my turn. I'm celebrating the upcoming release of my first solo book project, Mother's Work, Pearls of Wisdom and Gems from My Journey. Now, I know you first heard me say that I wanted to write a book back in December of 2016 when I was interviewing my good friend Daryl Tao about his book on his life as an athlete and all of the powerful lessons that he learned. So I know I've been telling you it's coming for quite a while, but life happened. And I'm just getting around to releasing it into the universe. So as the title suggests, it's about my motherhood journey. And here to talk with me about it today is Charlotte Avery. She is a dynamic mom of seven and the 2020 Virginia Mother of the Year. Now, you may recall that she joined me back in September 2020 for an episode about how she was managing her beautiful family and her work in the midst of this pandemic. Charlotte is a family strategist, a six-time author, and an all-around warm and pleasant person to know. And I just cannot wait to get started. Welcome, Charlotte Avery.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thank you for having me. I am super excited about this moment in time. So thank you so much for giving me the honor and privilege to interview you.
Thank you. Thank you again. So how's everything going with you today?
Today has been a pretty good day. I cannot complain. Everybody is in their places doing what they need to do, which is why I get to share time and space with you right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, let's go ahead and get started.
Let's get started. So let me just say, your book is amazing. It spoke to every part of who I am as a mom. And so I'm just excited to be able to do this. So Carol, you are such a very accomplished woman. Take a moment, and I know your audience is very familiar with you, but for those who are not familiar and they're just tuning in for the first time, take a moment to introduce and brag on yourself to the audience and share with us your evolution.
Okay. Well, how about I start from where we are now, and then I'll work my way back.
Perfect.
So, today, I am a parenting strategist and consultant, and I created a platform called the Parenting 411 a few years back because I wanted to find a way to unify all of the work that I had been doing over the previous 7 or 8 years. And this included engaging with parents through workshops, webinars, parent talks, and of course right here on the Parenting 411 show. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, I was named DC Mother of the Year by American Mothers Incorporated. And that same year, I was recognized as Radio Personality of the Year at SpeakerCon 2019.
Wow.
And I was really excited because that is a premier gathering of speakers, mm-hmm, and industry experts, and I just love that event. I cannot wait until they can do it live again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and so I really love what I do, but, you know, it wasn't an easy road getting here. I mean, prior to having my twin sons, I worked in corporate marketing and pretty much assumed I'd be going back after they were born, you know, even if I didn't go back to the same organization. But a few things happened. First, I fell madly in love with the boys. And
the Wonder Twins. Besides,
The Wonder Twins. I also call them my twin towers of power. And so I wanted to stay home with them a little longer. And, you know, I have to say my husband was very, you know, he was supportive, but he said, look, I will never ask you to do that, because he and I met in graduate school when we were getting our MBAs, and actually he went on to get an MBA JD, but he said, look, I sat next to you. I mean, like, that's how we got to know each other. He said, I know how hard you worked, and so there's no way I'm going to ask you to give up your career. And if this is what you want to do, then I'll support you. And so that's how that decision was made. And so I thought, you know, I have to say, I thought it would be pretty easy to be to stay at home with the kids. You know, and especially since I had two, you know, at the same time, I thought, you know, I was going to be like this cool camp counselor. And I figured I loved camp as a kid, and I had managed people before. So, I mean, how hard was this going to be? Seriously. I'm ashamed to say this is what I was thinking. And so I learned very quickly, though, that my sons came here with their own plans and, of course, their own needs. And so I like to say that I had to let go of what it was and lean into what it is and get myself together. And so the first thing I started with was, you know, just getting organized, getting my day organized. And then after that, I was really on a quest to learn more about how children develop and, you know, what they need from their parents, really.
Which is why you're an amazing parent and family expert.
Thank you.
I mean, you're one of the most amazing parent and family experts I know, so I'm excited. Well, let me ask you this question, because, you know, your book, Mother's Work, is so important, and there's so many pearls and gems in that book. But I want to ask you, what inspired you to write Mother's Work?
Well, a few things. In the course of working with parents in workshops and classes, I always sprinkled a little bit of myself, a few anecdotes to make whatever concept that I was trying to teach come alive for them. But also, I just was often asked, how did you start doing this work? And so when parents hear my story, you know, what I just shared about how I was like, overwhelmed and outmanned when I became a mom of twins, and how I had to scramble to lean into reality. But also when I share too that, you know, I had a child who was diagnosed with developmental delays, and just that process of helping him to overcome that, that brings another layer to an already challenging job as a parent. And so I remember those early days of trying to figure out what to do. Do I model it after, you know, this other mom that I see, or what other people are doing, or how much do I bring of my own upbringing into my family? And so just trying to figure all that out, and then you probably remember this, how people have so much advice for you when you have children. And, you know, and the ones who didn't even have children were the best. Right? They had the best advice. And so I remember that. And so I wanted to really put together a book. I mean, it's not exhaustive of all the 17 years, everything I've ever learned about children, but it really is a book that, you know, physically it's something you can throw in your purse, because we all, especially children that are younger, we're always waiting for them. They're at, you know, T-ball practice, soccer practice, taekwondo, or whatever it is. So I always liked to have a book back then, because we didn't always have you know, social media and all that stuff. So I like to have something to do. I always did whenever I was waiting for them. So this is a book that you can have. Again, you can fit it in your purse or your bag. And when you need some encouragement, you can pull it out and just read and just know that somebody else, you know, was where they are, had a similar struggle. And to the extent that my pearls fit their life, use them. But if they don't, at least it motivates them to, hey, create their own guideposts in their life and just get on with this parenting adventure, because it really is so fulfilling and enjoyable, and you don't want to waste a lot of time missing out because you're overwhelmed. You want to, you know, get tuned in so that you can enjoy these kids, because the time really goes by quickly.
It really does. And, you know, I tell people all the time that once your children come into this world, like, they are a true example that time stops for nothing, because they're babies and they're toddlers and then, you know, they're little people and then they're adolescent people, and, you know, your children are grown. I mean, you have grown adult children now, you know. And so, I mean, yeah, maximizing those moments in time is so very, very important. One thing that I love about your book is that, you know, like you said, you can take this book with you and just toss it in your tote bag and pull it out. But one thing I love is that I believe that any mom reading this book, she'll be able to, you know, like the chapter on courage, if a mom is feeling like she needs courage, she can go straight to that chapter and read that chapter and really get some courage. And the other thing that I like about your book is, in a mother's work, I feel like, because I've had conversations with you, I feel like you're having a conversation. I mean, I can hear your voice talking to me as I'm reading through those pages, and I think moms need that. And so I just, anyway, I love this book. But anyway, I can imagine that all moms have their own definition of mother's work. What is your definition of mother's work?
Oh, wow. So for me, mother's work is really, it's a task of leaning in and learning who your children are. Like that, that second piece, learning who your children are.
That is so good.
It's so important. And it's really about giving them room to discover who they are for themselves and what they're capable of. And so all along, you're protecting and guiding them as is appropriate for their level of development. And then you're also, very importantly, equipping them to leverage their talents and their skills, and then giving them agency to pursue purpose in a way that they can peacefully interact with those around them and collaborate with those around them.
Absolutely. I think it's that what you said too, is teaching them how to discover themselves. But even in a mother's work, even in just in my own journey of motherhood, I'm rediscovering my own self and learning myself too, because it's kind of like a joint journey. So yeah, I agree with that. So you mentioned earlier being voted 2019 District of Columbia Mother of the Year by American Mothers. As it pertains to your work as a mom, what did that nomination mean to you?
Well, I felt affirmed, honestly. And that honor came at a very special time when I really kind of needed that. Because I was existing at that point squarely in the sandwich generation. That's where I was, where you're now thinking more about your aging parents, and then you still have children at home. Because even though they were going off to college, they still lived in our home, you know? And so they had just gone off to college. But, you know, I was still interested and concerned to make sure that they were settling in well, and that wasn't always easy. And so in October of that year, my mother became very sick. And so, and that was just a shock, because my mother, I mean, aside from maybe childbirth or maybe an outpatient procedure or something, she had never really spent time like that. I just hadn't remembered anything like that. So that was really shocking that, you know, she had to be there. And, you know, so I was obviously very, very concerned about her. And then just trying to juggle everything because I was also looking to really relaunch my business. Because like I said, I say in the book, I had started in parent education back in 2005. That was when I earned my certification with a local parent education organization, a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so I was always doing a little bit here and there and learning what I could here and there, but you know, my family was my focus. And so with them in college, now was the time to really crank things up. And then, you know, my mother was sick, and it just really tugged at me because, you know, my mother was just so helpful when my boys were born. And she just really put a lot into them. And so, you know, and of course she had previously put a lot into me. So I wanted to be there for her.
Right.
So just figuring all that out. And so to get this honor in the midst of it was, just kind of heartening for me. And then also, it was also a way to really take stock of all my mother had done for me. So and to celebrate that. So I just felt like that was something he gave me to encourage me at a time that I really needed it.
I can second that too. When I was voted 2020 Virginia Mother of the Year, I felt the same way. I was like, oh wow, like I'm really being acknowledged for all my hard work and everything that I put into this motherhood journey. And it really meant everything to me. So I totally can feel you in that. So there's a part in your book, there's an excerpt, and I want to read it because okay. I think that I think every mom can relate to this. So in your book, in a mother's work, you said, early on, I was operating in survival mode. I was really just trying to make it through the day. Every day, I had to do 10 diaper changes, track feedings, wipe noses, and play times two. Sometimes I was fun mommy, and there were a lot of smiles and giggles, but other days, I had a short fuse. It became apparent that a lack of purpose sprang from a lack of balance. Whether moms tell the truth or not, Carol, I believe that every mom can relate to this particular excerpt from your book. How can moms get out of surviving and start thriving?
Well, the first thing moms have to do, and what really helped me, was take hold of your time. You just can't wake up every day and just randomly go through it. It really gives your children security and gives you a reasonable amount of sanity if you have some sense of what's going to happen and when it's going to happen throughout the day. Now, you know, of course you can course correct because there are going to be some things you don't expect, but if you have a general idea, I just feel like that gives you some comfort. And the next thing I would say was to organize your physical space, and then you'll start to find that your headspace gets a little more organized as well, so that you and your children can experience some order. You know, back during that time, I read a great book called Time Management from the Inside Out by Julie Morgenstern, and that was a game changer. And so in the course of that, you know, she talks about creating zones that are associated with different roles that you have.
Okay.
And so it was very important to have a zone of self-care in there. And not be, oh, well, if there's time left over, I'll do this. It's like, it's an appointment with yourself that you're going to do something to take care of yourself. And so, because you can't pour from an empty vessel. You can't give if you're not.
Can you say that again?
Have anything.
Can you say that again?
You can't pour from an empty vessel.
Yeah, see, if I were right in front of you right now, I would be slapping you a high five.
You know, because, you know, you just end up, you'll end up running ragged with a little, and you'll have little sense of satisfaction, and
yes,
you're really going to get very little accomplished. And let me tell you a little joke about that. When I had read that book, she kind of had this chart that you create, and so I had it in Excel, and mm-hmm. So my husband saw it, and so at the end, so for my self-care every evening, I had a zone, and it was called Read, Write, Romance, right?
And so he
would say, well, it's just optional, you know, I read or I'll write. Well, I'll have romance. You know, which one is it going to be tonight? And so we still laugh about read, write, romance.
Wow. Well, in the first pearl of a mother's work, you talk about purpose. When did you discover that motherhood was your ministry? And what was your aha moment that made you know what your purpose was as the Wonder Twins mom?
Well, so I had that moment when my children were toddlers, and I was mm-hmm. taking a parent. They were toddlers, and I was taking a parenting class that mm-hmm. was designed specifically for that age group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a religious curriculum, but
okay,
I just started to see so much of God in it, right? And I was starting to look around, like, okay, so we're just not even going to talk about how this is similar to our relationship with God, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it struck me that just as I was scratching my head, wondering, you know, of course they were running around by then, why they weren't listening to me, I was mm-hmm. imagining God feeling the same way. Like, didn't I tell her not to go there or not to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I reflected on how, you know, he would lovingly correct me, even if it wasn't, a pleasant experience for me. So he was teaching me through my consequences. And
mm-hmm.
so I was reminded that that's really the definition of discipline. It's to teach. It's not to punish.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Right. Thank you. And so I just figured if he could take that approach with me, then I should certainly follow that with my children. And that's when it was like, this is your ministry. Your
mm-hmm.
parenting is your ministry. You know, it's God's work.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, like I said, there are just so many great pearls that you put in. I mean, the thoughtfulness that went into this book is just, it just astounds me. I mean, it's really one of the better motherhood books that I have read in a very long time. In The Pearl of Faith, there's no doubt that faith has played an extremely important role in your motherhood journey. Share a nugget on faith and motherhood to a mother who is watching, listening, who may be struggling in that area.
Well, you know, there's a saying that I like, and it goes, it's all going to be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I don't know, I ran across that quote late into my motherhood. It wasn't something that I saw when my children were younger, but it's certainly something that I believed before I'd ever read that. Because that's the essence of what I would want to share. There is a solution. There's a resource out there that can help you. And, you know, if you're sincere in your intention on discovering it, it's going to manifest. It might be in the form of another mom. It might be a book. It might be experience. It might be a song, you know. And, you know, you just find something because, you know, some people don't practice a religion, say, for example.
Right.
But find something like a scripture or a quote or something that speaks to your spirit that you can hold on to and just make space to
mm-hmm.
meditate and reflect on it regularly. I think that is just critical.
So here's a question. I know that you meet and know a lot of moms, but because you're so seasoned in motherhood, I have a question. In all the pearls that you have given to us, all seven of them, if you met a new mom today, mm-hmm. and she needed two pearls of wisdom, what would they be? What would be your two pearls out of all seven? I know this is like a hard question, but what would be the two pearls that you would give to her?
Well, today I would be led by courage and faith. And I say that because, and I didn't realize this until I got into it, but motherhood and parenthood, to be fair, is a courageous journey.
It is.
Yes, it's new territory, and you have to venture into it anyway. There's no like, oh, you know what? I was just kidding. I don't even think I want to do this.
Right.
That is not an option.
Right.
Not an option. And so you're also vulnerable emotionally because, you know, this little person, you know, they have their needs and their interests and they don't know anything about context. They don't know anything about who you are and who you used to be before
right.
You became their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard. And so you also have to, you know, you have to make some unpopular choices where your children are concerned. And, you know, the children aren't going to always be happy about them. The people around you aren't going to always be happy with you. And you have to be able to withstand that. And then, you know, as we said earlier, faith is vital to the process because you don't really know how all of this is going to turn out. And I'm so thankful that along the way, I would get validation here and there, just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the honor of the Mother of the Year.
Yes.
Some of the results don't come till way, way down the line. And,
yes.
you know, and so, you know, that faith can hold you steady when you need something to lean on. So I think those two, certainly the way I'm feeling today, those are the things that I think would be really important for new moms.
I love it. So here's another statement that you wrote in A Mother's Work. And this right here, I was like, yes, amen, sister. You said, be courageous enough to fail. As they say in basketball, you got to swing to the wall to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that quote right there, I was like, wow, because I can, in my own motherhood experience, I can just like count like on my fingers and my toes, and if I had like 10 or 20 more, all of the times that I feel like I have failed as a mom, as a parent, you know, especially, and I mean, and I could take that and times that by seven because I have seven kids, right? But I just, I mean, can you explain that even further for us?
Yes. So, absolutely. You know, you have to do the best you can with the information that you have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that it might not be the right decision and you might have to go back and correct. You might have to go back and apologize to your children. Like, you know, when this happened, I thought this was the way to go, but I've got to be honest and we're going to have to do something different. And that takes courage, especially with your children, because you feel you want to have this feeling of invincibility and omnipotence, you know, with your
yes.
children.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you don't get it right. So you have to be courageous enough to take the step, realizing it might not be perfect. And then, you know, it's also very important because you want to convey that for your children so that they will try. I had a little bit of a perfectionist when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, just, you got to get out there. It's okay if it's not quite perfect, but, you know, you'll learn something and you'll refine it and you'll do it differently next time and whatever, but you just have to try. You have to
right.
you have to try. And so that's, you know, what I think is so important. And so with my son, one of my sons, my other son, who had the developmental challenges, that was very critical to pour into him because he had a, you know, he had a tougher journey. And
mm-hmm.
so in our family, he, you know, he really is courage personified. I mean, when I just think of
mm-hmm.
how hard he worked and how he just took those steps. And I even have some stories in there about things that he said and things that he did that really shows his courageous spirit and, you know, my other son as well. So it's because I feel like if you have courage, a lot of things will take care of themselves.
I so agree. I really, really agree with that. You know, I can think of a time when I had to, when I really felt like, man, I really bombed it, like as a mom. And I remember having to muster up the courage to bring all of my children together and have a family meeting and apologize to them. Because, you know, I mean, I tell people all the time, hi, my name is Charlotte Avery. I'm a recovering yeller. And so I was really, I was very challenged in my tone of voice. And I remember one day it just seemed like my tone of voice was just completely, like, off the hinges. And it was just the Lord that showed me myself. And I had to bring everybody together, my children, my husband. And I had to look at each and every one of them, all eight of their faces, and apologize. Mm-hmm. And that was such a breakthrough moment, I think, for me. But it was for my family, too, because and for my children, because it was very important for them to be able to see mommy's not perfect, but mommy is not only telling us to apologize when we're wrong, she's really apology personified, you know, and that was major for me. But I mean, you talk about an epic fail. Oh my gosh, like it crushed me. And so it does take courage for parents to have those moments, and especially parents, and I don't know if you've ever encountered this, but, you know, even parents who, especially moms who are very type A, where you were talking about your son and his perfectionism and things like that, but when you have type A moms who everything has to be perfect, if it's not perfect, it's like they're just falling off their rockers, you know. And so I think motherhood is also a time to say, okay, I failed and this wasn't perfect, but that's okay because tomorrow is another day.
Yes, yes. I mean, and that's what we want to instill in the kids, that
yes.
you'll get another chance. Like I started ministering to myself with that as well. Like, you know, at night I would sort of debrief how the day went with myself, or, you know, I might be talking to my husband sometimes because he traveled a lot during that time, too. And I kind of talk with him about it and then, you know, be respectful and gentle with myself to know that you'll get another chance tomorrow. You know, it wasn't your finest hour, but you'll get another chance tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what, and I always say tomorrow's another day, thank God, you know what I mean? So I agree with you on that. So I am really big on support systems, but I just believe that support systems have to be very strategic, and I believe that sometimes we have different support systems for different things that are happening in different seasons and different things that are happening in our lives, right? And so, in one of the pages of your book, you said, and you put this quote in here from Sophia Nelson, you said, "Not every woman will be your best friend, nor should she be invited to be in your inner circle. But every woman deserves your respect and support when you are able to provide it. Being your sister's keeper should be a reflex." And that was like another amen sister moment, because I know that sometimes out in these motherhood streets, like I like to call them, we can be so judgmental, or we can feel like we're being very judged by each other. And so when it comes to support systems and sisterhood, I believe that motherhood is its own type of sisterhood, you know, because everybody's not out here doing motherhood. And so I just believe that moms are a very unique set of people. And so I do believe that, you know, there are levels to sisterhood in being a mom. So how would you speak to the mom who feels like she has no sisterhood?
Wow. Well, I think that moms will, I mean, aside from their friends, but, and I guess if you're saying she doesn't feel like she has a sisterhood with them, you kind of will find people as your children are involved in activities and what have you. And I would also say, don't start out looking for sisterhood, deep sisterhood at first. Connect with them the way you are first out of necessity. Like, okay, we're in the same class and we're class mothers and we have to coordinate this celebration for Teacher Appreciation Day or whatever. So interact the way you need to, and then allow things to happen organically.
Mm-hmm.
And that you'll start to find who your people are. Now, I can say that I'm very much an organization person. I have a lot of friends, and I've been involved in organizations. And I'll say that even being involved in organizations, mom groups, like I'm a part of Mocha Moms, and, you know, I'm an associate member of Jack and Jill of America Incorporated. I'm a member of a sorority. With all of those sisters around, not everybody is my sister. It has to be organic. So even in those organizations, there's still, there's still no pressure. I don't put pressure, even being in those organizations, that all of you should be there for me anytime I need you. And all of you, I don't lean on them in that way. I engage with them in the work that we're doing together. And then if a friendship evolves, then I accept that. But I think, because I definitely experienced that in one of the mothers' organizations that I went into, that's what some mothers came into, just like ready to grab on people. And, I mean, we're still humans, and we still connect in ways that just seem natural to us. So I felt like you really just allow those things to happen organically. They will. You will find people that you have something in common with, and those will be the most meaningful. And then also recognize that it might just be, you know, for a season. Like, if it lasts longer, then, you know, that's a blessing.
Right.
But just accept the connection for what it is in the moment.
Right.
And, be what that person needs in the moment, and they can be what you need in that moment. And then just see what grows. Because like it says in the quote, you know, every woman is deserving of your respect and support when you're able to provide it. So start there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some, friendships, some real friendships and sisterhood can develop.
I totally agree. And, when I talk about support systems and sisterhood, I always say that, your support systems and people who are part of your sisterhood, your tribe, like your sister girls, those should be reciprocal relationships. It shouldn't be just, somebody's taking. It's us being reciprocal toward each other. You know, it's how can I help you? How can I support you? How can you support me? And sharing of resources, information. You watch my kid for date night, and I watch your kid for date night. You know what I mean? I think that those types of relationships they should be reciprocal, and if they're not, then I think it's an opportunity to check it and say, is that sisterhood? Is that person really part of my tribe? But even aside from that, one thing that you said is powerful is that, somebody does not have to be a part of your mom tribe or your mom sisterhood for you to respect who they are. And I think sometimes we can I think sometimes we fall short of that. So I just really appreciated that particular quote in your book. So here's the thing. I mean, like I keep saying, you know, your book, A Mother's Work, is just so, it is a very powerful and impactful book. And in your book, you have you gave us 7 pearls, and you gave us 32 gems. I know you probably like, I can't believe you like went and counted.
I know. I was thinking this.
Wow. But let me just say, I mean, you gave us all of that in a guide that is just so poignant and impactful, and it's not like 300 pages. I'm like, wow, this is like amazing. But so I just want to share, if you don't mind, I want to share, out of your 32 gems, I want to share the 7 that really just like jumped off the pages for me. Do you mind if I do that?
Oh, not at all. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Because I don't want you to be like, girl, you're going to give all my information. But people will buy this book no matter what because they should. So anyway, okay, so the first one is parent for the long term. Be thoughtful and consistent, not random. Can you speak to that?
Yes, and I can think of an example. I will name the store because I don't, it's a store that everybody goes to and spends way too much money in. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
And I think everybody knows what it is. It's like Mom's Toy Store or something. I don't know what you call it, but we do. We pick up all kinds of home goods. We pick up maybe an outfit and we can get groceries there too. So
I'm laughing because so I think I know the store, but anyway, continue on.
Yes. And so I can recall a time when we were there and one of my sons was just melting down and I was like, you know, of course people are looking and all this other stuff. And so, you know, sometimes people who are in that situation, you know, moms feel like I'm being judged and I have to show that I have command of this situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they are really rough with the children or whatever. And that's where, to me, you have to think about your relationship. You're not always going to be in that store. You're not always going to be in front of those people. You may never see them again, but your child, you have a commitment to your child. So in that moment, relate to your child and guide your child in the context of the relationship you've already established.
That's so good.
Talk to them in a way that will honor that relationship. It will take care of the situation that you are in right then.
Mm-hmm.
But it also will honor long-term what you're trying to instill in that child. And so in that particular case, we left. Okay. I mean, I didn't drag them out or anything like that. It was like, okay, we've got to go. Cart left behind and we're gone. We're going to go. Because that was the best, that was the most respectful thing I could do for my child at that mm-hmm. moment. I mean, I said something, let them know, okay, you know, we're going to have to get ready to go or whatever. But that was the most respectful thing I could do for my child, to address that situation. And so that's what we did. And, of course, we talked about it. And also, you know, when we went back to that store, say, another day or whatever, mm-hmm. I definitely laid out the ground rules. This is what we're here for today.
Right.
This is what we're going to do.
Right.
And as long as we can do that, we can stay. If
Very
not,
good.
We'll come back, you know, we'll have to leave. So that's where you're thinking long term and just not being, you know, you're being consistent, like it said.
Right.
And just not random, because it would just be for me to have, like, say, I don't know, spank them because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't spank them. So I didn't spank them other times. So for me to have done that there,
right.
to show off for the people who were watching me would have been completely random and
right.
not fair.
I love it. And so the next one I put in here is live your faith out loud.
Well, so, you know, speak it. Like a lot of times, like say before you had children or maybe when your children aren't there, you might be driving along and think about something or maybe hey, you might even be relieved that you got somewhere safely and on time. You're like, oh, thank God for getting me here, you know, or, you know, getting me through that traffic or whatever. Say it out loud. don't keep it to you. Don't keep it to yourself. Of course, they should also see you practicing it, however you do. And so, for us, you know, we attend church, we're active in church and things like that. I was involved with their, you know, children's program at our church and things like that. So they see it come alive. They don't, it's not just me saying, let's read the Bible or, you know, whatever, or reading devotions, which was a part of our bedtime routine. It's not just that. It's just you out here, you're seeing me acknowledge that I'm thankful for this or whatever. So that's what I meant by that.
I love that. So I already mentioned this one, but the one that you said, be courageous enough to fail. The next one that I put on here was kids have wisdom too.
Yes. Kids have good ideas. They can assess situations really well. I mean, I've had my children have to tell me, you know, like I have one example in the book where I was kind of offering my opinion on what this other family was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, prior to that point, I would use this certain phrase, like when our children would talk about what other families were doing or what other privileges that children could have and maybe they couldn't, our children didn't have them. And I'd say, well, you know, that's what they do in their family. It's not what we do in ours. Mm-hmm. And so my son, he's like, wait, Mom, when he heard me talking about another family, like, oh, no, I don't think they do that or whatever. He said, Mom, it's okay in their family. I mean, no, he said it's okay in our family, but it's not okay in their family, you know? And then also where they have, we've had to make important decisions, vital decisions about schools or organizations that they would be involved with. Mm-hmm. And they were observing the situation too, and they had some thoughts about it. So it was important that we considered it. That's how we even, we got our dog. Like they, we allowed them to select where we were going to buy our dog. We took them to the places where the people were selling the dogs that they wanted. And they were able to go through each facility and they were able to see how the owners treated the dogs and all that. And they were able to make the decision.
Wow.
You know, they made a good choice. And to this day, buying our, you know, golden doodle has been one of the best things we've done for our family. So
Well, I hope my children didn't hear that part of our conversation because they want a dog so bad, and I just can't bring myself to do it. But anyway, moving right along. Here was another one of my favorites right here is friendship begins at home. I love this one so much because, you know, like I said, we have seven children and, you know, we teach our children, you know, that, you know, they can't like love somebody else or do something else more than they do for somebody else in our household. And so, you know, for you, I know it was, you know, not only just teaching your boys what that meant, but even what that looks like in parenthood and things of that nature. So speak to that also.
Well, yeah. I mean, that idea really started for me with my husband, you know, when we first got married. It was just about the way that we talk to each other, even if we were disagreeing or whatever. Because I always felt like, you know, yes, he was my romantic interest, you know, but he was also my friend. And so I just, you know, always tried to think about that in terms of how, you know, the way I treated him or whatever. And so in the household, when you think about it, just us getting along, having consideration about cleaning up after ourselves or, you know, borrowing somebody's property or something like that, you're acting like a friend in those moments when you're showing that respect. So I think a lot of, you know, friendship really does begin at home.
Yeah, and you know what? That's really powerful because you also model that, in front of your kids, and they see that because you're their first role models of what that looks like. And so, yeah, I totally agree. All right, here's another one of my favorites. Set yourself up to be present. Get organized in your physical space and in your mental space. I love that so much because I really try to purpose in my heart to be present for my kids and for myself. But, yeah, but can you speak on that too?
Well, I struggled. I definitely struggled with that because I was finding that I just couldn't, I wasn't enjoying them in the moment. I was always thinking about, oh, I better get those bottles together. I need to do, you know, I need to do this or whatever. And so it was really about thinking ahead. I mean, you know, every day is different, but there's certain things that happen every day, you know. So plan ahead for that. Get that ready so that you have that much more time to spend with your children and your family, those you love.
Absolutely, absolutely. So here's my last one, and this was like one of my most favorites. Make home a place where your children can find peace.
Yes, I think that is just
it's so powerful.
A precious gift. It's a precious gift that you can give your children because they go out in the world at school and whatever, and they take some knocks, you know. I mean, as children are figuring out how to relate to each other, you know, feelings are hurt or disappointments might be out there. Maybe there's something at school. Maybe they didn't do as well on an assignment or whatever. And home should be a haven. They should be able to come home and feel like they're around people who care about them and that there's not a lot of discord. There's just a place that they can come home to rest and be rejuvenated so that they can head back out there again.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, can I just tell you, like, all of these gems, like, all 32 of them are, like, so tweetable. Like, I could tweet these, like, all the time. I mean, because they're so true. And, I mean, they're just words to live by. They're actions to live by. And so I just appreciate all of them. I appreciate all 7 pearls. I appreciate all 32 gems. I mean, just amazing.
Well, thank you so much. I have really enjoyed this discussion with you, and I want to turn the tables real quick because I want to know how you've been doing, you know, as you're coming to the close of a school year, and then some tips for moms for going into the summer, given the year or the year and a half, I guess you want to say, that we've had. What they can do for their children. So how about that?
All right. So now that you're putting me on the spot, so let me just be very honest and say, you know, this time, you know, this year and a half, parenting through a pandemic and everything, I mean, it's had its ups and it's had its downs. I would like to say that it's had more ups than downs, but I think it's because I've just really been intentional about making home, because home is where they're learning, even though they're virtual schooling, but it's their every place, right? It's where they eat, where they sleep, where they do school. It's everything. And so I've tried to be very intentional about what home looks like for all of us, not just my kids, but even for my husband, for myself, because we're, you know, it's not like they're leaving the house and going to school from 8 to 3:30. I mean, we're all here together. And so, I mean, we deal with the same things that other parents are dealing with sibling rivalries and all kinds of things. But, you know, I've been very intentional about them getting outside, especially now that the sun is starting to come out a little bit more and it's getting a little bit warmer. But just them getting out of the house and having some natural vitamin D on their skin. And but I've been very intentional with maximizing my time to teach them life skills that I wouldn't have had the time to teach them because they would have been at school and then we would have been like activity heavy, you know, with taking all 7 of our kids to, you know, sometimes the same activity or different activities or what have you. So it's been good. It's been bad. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind and other times I'm like, oh, there's your mind. It came out of lost and found. We got this today. But But it's been more sweet than bitter, and so for that I'm really thankful. Now, because you and I have been in a relationship with each other for a little bit, you know that I love summertime. Mm-hmm. I love summer. Like, I was ready for summer when school started because I was able to have so much fun and to make so many memories with my children. And so for me, like, the jewel and the gem that I will be practicing all summer long is being present, really being present, because my older son, he's going to be a senior in high school. And so there are so many things that I'm just, you know, I keep asking myself, you know, have I taught him everything that he needs to know before he graduates from high school? Does he know how to make everything that he wants to eat? Because he's an eater. So I'm like, son, you're going to need to make a list of everything that I need to teach you to cook so that you can feed yourself and somebody else when you go to college. But, you know, even practicing life skills with them as far as cooking and cleaning and doing laundry, because I hate the laundry. Everybody knows I hate the laundry. But, you know, all of those things, like, I plan on this summer, I plan on doing another Friday fun, summer fun fair with the kids. You know, I did that at the beginning of the summer last year, and, you know, we had funnel cake and candy apples, and we played outside and had all kinds of fun. Like, people in my neighborhood thought we were having a party. They thought it was like a little carnival on our front lawn. But I plan on doing that again. I plan on taking some mini vacations with them, and like I said, just really maximizing the moment. I'm not interested in doing things for the sake of being busy. I'm interested in doing things with them for the sake of making memories. Because for me, if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that, first of all, if we never knew how precious life and time was, you know, we should have learned that by now, and our resources, right? If we haven't learned that, then the pandemic hasn't taught us some of the lessons that we needed to learn. But for me, just being able to maximize the moments with them, I mean, the pandemic really made us, like, slow down as a family and not be so busy. And I've loved every minute of it. And so for me, one thing that I would tell moms who are getting ready to be out of school and navigate summer and everything, you know, ask your children what they want to do this summer. I ask my children all the time what they want to do, and they have to make a bucket list. And so what my kids do is each of my children make a bucket list. It's a summer bucket list, all of them. And then we pick at least two things off of each person's bucket list, and we make a family bucket list from those two, from all those things, and those are the things that we say we're going to maximize and do this summer. And it actually takes the think work out of it for me, because now I'm not saying, well, okay, I've got to beat my head against the pavement and say, what am I going to do with these people all summer long? But they actually help to plan their summer.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And before we close, I just want to let everybody know that Mother's Work launches on Tuesday, May 18th at 8 p.m. It will be a virtual book launch. And if you would like to register, visit carolmaletta.com/MWBookLaunch. I hope to see you there. It's free. And again, it's carolmaletta.com/MWBookLaunch. Charlotte, very quickly, can you give your website or your handle so that people can follow you too?
My website is Being Charlotte Avery, and all of my social media is Being Charlotte Avery.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you again, Charlotte. I really have enjoyed this conversation. I can't wait until we get together for lunch or however we're able to do it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, and thank you again for inviting me and allowing me to share this time and space with you.
Yes, my pleasure. All right, everybody. Well, I look forward to talking to you next time. Take care. All day.